I told you before we in the welcome when I forgot the announcement, which I still can't remember what it was. But I told you I was excited about this set of verses because I love what's kind of laid out before us in this experience. In fact, I've loved the time that I've been able to spend this week in these verses, and I hope that you'll see that just the beauty and the truth that kind of comes out of this set. In fact, we're kind of in this passage kind of comes in just these sets of what seems like many lessons. They're not disconnected, but they're very much just kind of following a day in the life of things that Jesus would experience. And what we've been doing is kind of focusing on our responses as we hopefully and prayerfully see more and more of God's kingdom in our everyday lives. In fact, that's a big part. If you are in Christ, that your eyes, the scales of your eyes would just continually be removed, and you would see God more at work in your everyday, just simply normal life. And so far in this series, we've kind of taken a look at his kingdom as it comes to our stewardship, and then we spent a couple weeks in forgiveness, and then faithfulness, and not an extensive look, but in regards to just the importance of recognizing our role as we respond just to the great testament of God in our lives. And going forward, we'll start talking about some preparedness and how God rewards us with his justice, and how he rewards the sinner with mercy, and how the humble are rewarded with his kingdom and the blind their sight. But today, I pray that we would be able just to slow down long enough and look into our own lives by extension of 10 people who are healed by just one word from Jesus. And then that we would pay special attention to the movement of one of them, and we would ask kind of what can we learn from his response in experiencing such a miraculous healing. And now what I would put on the table before you is that as miraculous as the healing is in this passage, your healing in Jesus is even more miraculous. And so if there's anything in us that wants to celebrate a leper being cleansed, we should do that, because that is awe-inspiring and worthy of praise. But if you have been redeemed in Jesus Christ, there is no greater celebration and there is no greater miracle than your death coming back to life and your sin being forgiven because of Jesus. And as we walk kind of this road together, I want to give you the main point early in case you really need to leave and start praying for game six tonight, you know, get in your prayer closet and really just battle. But I want to give it to you early, and then I want to allow us just to kind of hold it to the light and examine it kind of along the way as we walk through this passage. Luke tells us this account through the lens of 10 lepers, as we have something, again, greater in our lives to celebrate if you're found in Jesus. But the one thing, the main thing that I want to lay before us is that in his great mercy, the Lord restores the broken and the unclean. So how could we not continually give him thanks? That in his mercy, God restores the brokenness and the uncleanness. And so how could we not give him just a continual thanks with our lives? And so Luke kind of begins this passage by telling us of an event when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. We've kind of been on this road trip for a while now, as Jesus has set his eyes to Jerusalem, and the there's this growing frustration from the church with Jesus. You know, at first the Jews and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes, they're just kind of irritated with them, and then they start to get more frustrated with them, and then they get angry toward him, and now Jesus has set his eyes on Jerusalem, and the tension is mounting to a point where pretty soon in this gospel, they'll look at Jesus and they're like, hey man, let's not go to that town because they want to kill you there. And Jesus will say, no, I know, I must go because that's where God has called me to go. And so as he is going to Jerusalem, he knows that the cross awaits him. And so we've been kind of walking with him, and on his travels, what we find is that he's going to pass through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And now that being mentioned, I think needs a little bit of explanation, because if you were reading this back then, this would make a different sense to you. And so the scriptures teach us that when it comes to the Jews, they had a very hostile relationship with the Samaritans. In fact, they had really no dealings with the Samaritans. They believed that they were of less value than dogs, who they didn't value at all. And they felt this way because at some point the Samaritans lived in Samaria, and they were Jewish people who began to intermarry with other nations. And so the Jews kind of looked at them and said, y'all are kind of a half-breed, and so therefore you don't have any claim to being part of our family. And so the hostility was so deeply rooted that when the Jews wanted to go from Judea to Galilee, they, instead of just going the direct route through Samaria, they would cross the River Jordan, they would go to Transjordan, and they would go up the desert road, and they would bypass Samaria. And y'all, you're like, Transjordan? For real? You'd go that far? None of us really have a context of that, other than, let's say that we were going to go from here to downtown Fort Worth, but we hated the bullfrogs of Lake Worth so much that we were like, no, we're not going through 199. That's the direct route. Instead, we're either going to go down Boat Club all the way to Saginaw, which, why would you want to do that? Because we all know, no matter what time you get there, the train somehow is gonna affect you, right? No matter what bridges we build, the train's going to get you. Or you say, okay, you know, instead of going through that area, we're going to go all the way down to Western Center. We're going to hit 35, and we're going to go to downtown. Now, if I said, hey, that's the route we're going to go, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. And you say, why would you do that? Well, because I just hate Lake Worth so bad. And like, we sit here and we would giggle, but this legitimately is the issue when the Jews consider just walking through the town of the Samaritans. And so when Luke comes in and he says that Jesus was going through the area between Galilee and Samaria, this would have made very little sense, and this would have made the audience very tense. And so we read in verse 12 that as Jesus goes, as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And now let's talk about leprosy just for a moment. It was a horrible skin disease that once you had been diagnosed in ancient Israel, you suffered really just the worst possible kinds of quarantine. And not a quarantine that would typically last a week or two, but for the rest of your life. And if you had leprosy, unless you were cured by some miraculous and marvelous means, you were sentenced to a solitary life, removed from community, from your family, from your religious institutions of the day. You literally were a social pariah that was to be avoided, but not only were you to be avoided by people, you would have to, if you came in contact with or around people, you would have to declare your ailment, and you would do so by just saying unclean, unclean, about yourself. And so you were very much removed, and it was a very difficult, very pitiful way of doing life. And the only fellowship that you would have is fellowship with other humans who were also lepers. And the reason that a leper would gather in groups was because it was the only companionship they could possibly enjoy while their body was just decomposing. And in the area on the border between Galilee and Samaria was kind of this commercial highway that brought people from different nations. And we kind of know from this text that of the 10 lepers, at least some of them were Jews, and some, at least one was a Samaritan. And as Jesus approached, they kind of see him from far off, and they lift up their voices, and they said, they don't just say it, they don't whisper it, they scream it from a distance. They say, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." And if you like to get curious in your Bible, I think there's a fair question of how would these people who really had no interaction with Jesus, how would they know that he's in town? How would they know what he is doing? And it's not like as if they had cell phones and radios or television. They didn't have interaction with healthy people. But somehow they've heard news that Jesus is here. And I think as we kind of walk through and as we see just the variety of groups that would follow and just show up whenever Jesus would arrive, you would know that word has been getting out. In fact, what Jesus did in Galilee and Judea and even into Samaria were things the world had never seen before. That a blaze of miracles kind of just followed Jesus, and the news of that kind of ministry kind of it just spread like wildfire through every inch of the territory. And my suspicion is that word was spreading so much that even the outcasts heard the accounts of the dead coming back to life, of the blind receiving their sight, of the healing coming to those who are lame. And now they're in proximity and they kind of take their shot and they just say, "Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus' response to the lepers in itself is kind of unusual. On other accounts, one of the things that we see Jesus do frequently when people are afflicted or when they're suffering and they come to him, we get to celebrate these beautiful moments where Jesus would just place his hands on people and he would bring them healing, and he laid his hands or even just said, you know, "Be clean," and instantly they were healed. But that's not the scene in which we are reading today. When Jesus sees them, he looks at them and he says, "Go show yourself to the priests." And we would say, "Well, why is that important?" Well, if we go back way, way back into the book of Leviticus, I'm sure you were all very well read of the book of Leviticus in your Old Testament, that it was the priest who was authorized to make the diagnosis of leprosy and skin diseases. In fact, if a person was recovering or experienced kind of a false diagnosis, it would take the priest declaration to free them from that kind of quarantine. And so Jesus doesn't say, "Be clean, you're healed." Instead, he says, "Go see the priest," which meant what? That well, firstly, this isn't an idle mission. That they had something they had to do as part of the instructions of what Jesus was bringing to the table. But then secondly, this isn't a fool's errand, right? If I tell you to go see the priest, this is what Jesus is saying. I'm telling you, you're going to go and check yourselves out, and then you will be clean, because this is what we see, right? The lepers, as Jesus says, "Go present yourself to the priest," they're not instantly healed. They haven't been cleansed yet, but says they obeyed and they started to go and to visit the priest in obedience to this command of Jesus. And the text says this: "So it was that as they went, they were cleansed." As they went, it wasn't when they first saw Jesus, but after they started on their journey to see the priest, while they were walking along the road, their fingers suddenly began to become whole and their toes were being healed and the horrible sores on their body began to vanish. And I would have loved to have seen this scene, though I'm not sure. I would like to think I would have been brave enough to have relationship with them. That as they walked, just this community awareness. Oh my gosh. Are you experiencing what I'm experiencing? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Do you see what was broken? And I was all of a sudden finding healing and I'm being restored. And could you imagine just the murmurs becoming a little bit more clear and then all of a sudden the excitement that would come in your voice? And now a lot of us, I don't know. I mean, like we might have like spiritual wounds or emotional wounds, but rarely have we ever experienced this. But to this degree, and to see that kind of healing, and just by a word from Jesus and a step in obedience, they were being healed. And then all of a sudden, one of the lepers says, whoa, hold up. And he says, we got to go back. We got to go back. And the nine would look and be like, why? No, we're supposed to go to the priest. And he says, man, we have to go back. Do you not know where our healing came from? By just a word. We have to go back. And I think what the argument he would make is simply this. We have all day to go see a priest. But we might never see him again. We might never see Jesus again. We might never be able to thank him again and honor him again. And the rest of the lepers say, we don't have time for that. And for good measure. Like we could probably make them the villain of the story, but I don't think we have to. Because I think at the end of the day, they're just being obedient. They're not doing anything that Jesus didn't tell them to do. But I think the one who returns would look at them and say, how can we not? How can we not be thankful and so very thankful for what we have experienced in this? There's no question, I believe that they were thankful as a group. In fact, you can't be healed of leprosy and not feel that change at the innermost parts of your life. Although I think I've walked with plenty of Christians over the years who have been saved, but I don't think they remember how the gratitude of what Christ has done. I think the jadedness of our society can keep us from keeping in proper perspective just the miraculous movement of Jesus redeeming us and restoring us and making us a new creation as we got to sing today. And I think it's one thing to be grateful, and I think it's something else altogether to show that gratefulness, to manifest it, to do gratitude. Feeling and doing are not the same thing, but the man, he was steadfast, and he says, fellows, we may never meet again, and we've spent a lot of time in misery, and I've enjoyed the company in my misery, but you guys go ahead, I'm going back. So Luke tells us that one of the 10 lepers returns and with a loud voice and falling on his face at Jesus' feet. And I think this is the essence of true worship, right? This comes back to our main thought that in his mercy, the Lord restores the broken and the unclean. And so how can we not continually live lives of thanksgiving? How can we not? And so if we go back, and I would encourage you to crack open the book of Romans this week and just go into that first chapter. Because in this first chapter, Paul talks about the fact how God has revealed himself from heaven to every one of us. And that his wrath is revealed against all unrighteousness and all ungodliness of men. And the reason that we are ungodly and unrighteous is that man has suppressed the truth of God, which he reveals to all of us, leaving us without an excuse. This is how Paul kind of kicks in the door in his letter to the Romans. And he goes on to say that knowing God, they did not honor him as God, and neither were they grateful. Neither were they grateful. And I think these are two primary sins that are most basic of all sin. Right? That they're part of the root of every other sin. They are two sins of which all human beings in their natural, unconverted state are really just guilty of. And these two sins, again, are the refusal to honor God as God, and then the ingratitude that we carry toward God. And I think that's strange, and I think it's worth exploring, because if I were to ask you what is your most base sin, your worst evil action, I doubt you would come up with something like, well, it's failure to be grateful to God. Right? That kind of lends itself as an afterthought or something kind of up in the air. It's not concrete. Like some of us know our temptation towards sin, and it's very real and it's very tangible, and when we see it, we know it. But at its root, all sin is about the idolatry of our own hearts. It's about making ourselves, elevating ourselves to higher degrees than what they should be. And as we do that, we do these two things. We show a lack of honor for God, for who he is. And then we show a lack of gratefulness and thankfulness for what he has done to restore what has been broken in us. And I think when that's the case, we think what happens is we begin to think that God owes us everything that we receive and then much, much more. Right? If you're a parent, have you ever had to remind your child that they're not entitled to the internet? Right? That's a privilege. That they are not by birthright extended the privilege of a device or a phone. Right? Have you ever said, well, when I was a kid, we used to... I saw this video the other day about this person was trying to get this thing started of called the silent walk. You know, when you walk outside without your phone and you're disconnected. And some of us are like, what? Like, parent, no, it's a real thing. Like, when I was a kid, you know. I think many of us approach our relationships with God in this similar fashion, that we can convince ourselves that God owes us everything we receive and much, much more. And if a person is truly grateful, he shows it. And he shows it with his words, and he shows it with his actions. And as we talk about the leper's response, he shows it in his worship and his service to God. This is the part of the passage that I think is so precious, that the response of the man who was healed, that with a loud voice he glorified God and he fell down on his face at his feet and he gives him thanks. And then it says that he was a Samaritan, which is, I love this part, because again, Luke isn't making up story time. He has gone and he has followed, and again, he writes this letter so that we may have an accurate account of what we believe. And so when he says this is a Samaritan, you know, so he, God being a leper, strike one, God being a Samaritan, strike two, being a social outcast, strike three, and yet we find him being highlighted here in this scene because he has fallen at the feet of Jesus to give him thanks. So now let's talk about you. Because as miraculous as the healing of leprosy is, no one died that day. No one was separated to the point where death occurred. It was just by the word of Jesus and the footsteps of the lepers that we get to celebrate this healing. But if we talk about us and we talk about our reason to be grateful and our reason to have thankful hearts, we would realize that we have all, and some of us are suffering from spiritual leprosy. That we are lepers by nature, and the God of all mercy and grace through his beloved Son has made us clean. And if that be the case, if it be that we are in Christ Jesus, we should shout our thanksgiving to him, and we would fall at his feet in honor and adoration and worship. And that's why we're here. That's why you breathe today, if you are in Christ, that we have been made clean and we have come to give thanks and to give praise, not just with our lips, but with our hearts. And out of our hearts is the extension of our lives, and that changes everything. Everything that we do is built in this thankfulness that we have been made free. And so, I'm sorry, we have been set free. And I love this conversation. We won't really get into it, but Jesus kind of answers the man who returns, and he's like, you know, he's kind of like, am I having a math problem here, right? Did I not heal 10, right? Where are they, and where are the other 9? And we imagine the guy responding like, hey, they went to the priest. You told them to, but I've come back to you. And Jesus even points out that this foreigner has returned, but he comes back to say priest, he comes back to say thanks. And I think we could probably spend some time exploring, but we won't. You know, what's the difference between the 9 who obeyed and the one who comes back? I don't know, and I don't really care today. Because what we find here is this beautiful crossroads of our lives. Like if you are saved through Jesus here, are you thankful for that? Now that can be a very easy, quick, I don't have to think about it kind of answer. But let's not do that. Let's explore that just for a moment. Like in your gratitude, A, does the rest of the world know that? And then B, would they be able to see it if you didn't say it? Like in the fruit of your life, do people get to experience your gratefulness of the mercies of God? So one thing, in his great, and that's why we can start wrapping this up. In his great mercy, the Lord restores the broken and the unclean. So how could we not? How could we not? Dun, 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 dun. Thanks, Jeff. In his great mercy, the Lord restores the broken and the unclean. How could we not give him thanks? Now, leprosy is bad, right? Like, I don't really have the mental capacity to get how bad that was. But some of us have sat along the bedside of people that we deeply love who cancer just ravaged their body. Some of us have sat with loved ones when their minds have just departed, but their bodies have stayed. So I don't know if we have to like see leprosy to get just the pain of that. But it compares nothing compares to the brokenness of the soul. And that's what makes the cross so painfully beautiful and the resurrection so incredibly important to us. We always come back to these words in Ephesians chapter 2. In fact, if you're looking for a place to find yourself this week in the Bible, Ephesians 2 tells your story, but not just your story, it tells the story of God. But we're reminded of this in the 12th verse of that second chapter. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. You were were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and you were strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. And we could talk about the leper who returned, and we could say, you know, that there's a possibility, right? He spends the remainder of his days just following Jesus. Just wherever Jesus goes, he's just kind of that guy in the background. We could probably talk about the emotional difference that Jesus has made in his life. But many of us don't have to, because that's our story. He is our healing. He is our prize. He is our treasure. He is the one who has restored what was broken and dying in us. He is the one who has set us free from the captivity of sin that leads to death. In fact, that's many of our stories. And what I wonder is, does the world know that about you? Does it know, as we got to sing today, that you are a new creation? That you've been given a new name. And those names, oh my gosh, it's incredible. Child of God, friend of God, redeemed, restored, loved. No longer an outcast, no longer wandering aimlessly through life. You've been given a new name. You've been given a new purpose. You get to live for more than just the glory of who you think you are. You get to live in the glory of who he says you are. I wonder if a lot of us are like our kids, who think we're entitled to these things, these, you know, extraneous things like salvation and purpose and restoration. But what a miracle God does in our hearts through Jesus. And may we never forget that. May we never forget that. And now if you're here today and you're like, I have not experienced that miracle. And so when we talk about being a new creation, I'm actually not a new creation. I would encourage you to identify just for a moment with the leper, and you would know that there was nothing they could have done except by the mercies of God to rescue themselves. There was no pill. There was no potion. There was no crossing your fingers. There was none of that. It was by the mercy of God that he restores the brokenness in you. And we get the greater of those two miracles. And I would encourage you today, don't leave this place without walking through that, without rendering your heart to Jesus and understanding that all of my brokenness and all of my pain gets placed at the feet, at the foot of the cross. And that because of him, I get to live a life worthy of living. I love you guys. This week, our desire is to love God. Bye. If you need prayer this morning, we would love to pray with you. If you have some questions this morning, we love to try to answer questions and ask them ourselves. And so I'm going to leave you to that. And let me pray for us. Father, we come to you and we thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And I pray that we would be a people who would understand who we are in you and because of you. And we pray that that would be noticeable to the rest of the world. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.